Okay, today is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and it's actually quite a special day on the Jewish calendar. This day is mentioned in the Torah, specifically by day. It's a day that Moshe Rabbeinu began his final farewell address to the Jewish people, translating the Torah into a plethora of 70 languages. And Parshas Bo has the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh in it. So I thought, in honor of Rosh Chodesh, let's learn a little bit about, well, Rosh Chodesh. It's not the second reading, it's a little bit later. It opens the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. I believe it's found in the fourth reading. And here, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim lemer. God speaks to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt. Really and truly, what's going to ensue is instructions about the Korban Pesach. But we have an interruption between what's called Parshas HaPesach, the Torah's instructions about the Paschal offering, with the business of Rosh Chodesh, and this is according to the Ibn Ezer, because ultimately it is only through Rosh Chodesh that we have a Yom Tov, and we have the notion of Pesach altogether. At any rate, this forms the corpus of the Jewish people's mitzvahs, instructions or commandments as a nation. This is the opening one, the first one, the foundational mitzvah. As Rashi tells us in his opening comment, we'll talk about this a little bit later on, this in some ways should have been the very beginning of the Torah. And according to the Medrash Seichel Tev, before we go to the final makkah, before we move on to the details of the actual final stroke of redemption, it's important for the Jewish people to get mitzvahs, to get commandments of the Torah. And so the first commandment is what we're going to learn about now. Why is it Be'eretz Mitzrayim? What's the emphasis on Be'eretz Mitzrayim? So let's take a look in Rashi, who tells us that it's Be'eretz Mitzrayim, that it was Chutz Lekrach, it was outside of the actual city or settled area. Or maybe it's Betech HaKrach, maybe Be'eretz Mitzrayim means where everybody's living. So Rashi says, Talmud Leimar Betzesi Esair. Meshe Rabbeinu said that he could only begin to pray to Hashem when he would leave the city. This is while a bombardment was going on. Why not stay inside and just daven? And we learned that the reason is Meshe said it's an area in which is filled with idols. According to some opinions, everybody brought their sheep inside, and the sheep were the idols. At any rate, Meshe Rabbeinu said he has to go out of the field, out of the settled area, and so Rashi reasons, umat tefila kala, what of what we would consider to be a light prayer that has to take place. Le'hispalo b'techa krach, Moshe Rabbeinu felt he couldn't daven in the settled area, in the metropolitan area, l'fisha hoysa melea gilulim, because it was full of iconography and all kinds of idolatrous paraphernalia. So dibur, Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu and conveying to him the first mitzvah of the Torah, le'kolshkein, how much more so. Anyway, so now we know that Be'eretz Mitzrayim is Dafka Be'eretz, in the land of Mitzrayim, but not in the metropolitan area of Mitzrayim. I did skip a Rashi before, we should go back to it. Why is it Hashem El Moshe Ve'al Aaron? Rashi says, Bishvil Sha'arein Osa V'Torach B'Mefsim K'Moshe Aaron, worked just as hard at producing these marvels and wonders as Moshe Rabbeinu did. And because he did everything with such dedication and devotion, Cholak Lei Kovid B'Mitzvah Rishayna, God gave Aaron a sense of dignity. He dignified him, he honored him by incorporating him or making him participate in this very first mitzvah. In other words, Shekololoi im Moshe b'dibur. He included Aaron with Moshe Rabbeinu in that original transmission. In other words, they were both tuned into the dials and they both heard the voice of Hashem equally. So this is the pasuk, that's the verse that introduces us to the concept of what we're about to learn, the first mitzvah. On to verse 2 of chapter 12. HaChedesh Hazeh Lochem. So now on to the actual transmission, the actual prophecy, the giving of the first mitzvah of the Torah, first formal mitzvah that we receive as a nation, not at Sinai, but back in Egypt. Hashem says, this month, HaChedesh, this newness, this novelty, this freshness, will be for you Rosh Chodeshim. It will be for you the beginning of months. Rishon hu, it is the first lachem for you, l'chodshei Hashana. And this is a verse that needs to be understood. What is the meaning of HaChodesh Hazeh? This newness. Literally, maybe this month, but Chodesh is new. What does it mean, this month? What is he showing him? Hazeh usually indicates that there's a definitive item that's being fingered. This. HaChodesh Hazeh. What's the this? So Rashi says, Her'ohu Levana b'chidusha. God showed Moses the reappearance of the moon, what they call proverbially the rebirth of the moon. The new moon, the sliver of the moon. Va'omar loy, and God says to Moshe, Kishahayoreach mischadesh, when the moon reappears, when there's that first lunar sighting, Yi Yelecha, then this should be for you, Rosh Chodesh. Now you know what Rosh Chodesh is. Rosh Chodesh is when that sliver of light reappears. One could argue from a lunar perspective, when you know the moon is gone, it's about to be reborn. Perfect, Rosh Chodesh. No, for us, not in our lunar calendar. Not for the Jewish people. For us, it's when there's a reappearance, when there's that first sliver of light. It's interesting that in the Jerusalem Talmud, in the beginning of the second chapter of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, it speaks about a shear for Kiddush HaChodesh, an actual amount for how much of the moon has to be seen. And it says, Kegoidel Se'oira, like the size of a barley corn. I'm not an expert. I don't know what that means exactly. But the point is that we attribute an actual amount of light, or like a size. It's the size of how big of a lunar sighting there has to be in order for there to be what we would call the rebirth of the moon that's worthy of being deemed the beginning of a new month. And what exactly this was, Moshe didn't understand either. What does it mean? Does it mean the shadow, the silver lining? What exactly are we talking about? So God showed Moshe in the heavens. He said, this is the new moon. You see the way, look up, he says, like in his own little planetarium. He says, this is the meaning of a moon's rebirth from a halachic perspective. This should be used as a catalyst to declare Rosh Chodesh, a new month upon us. This is taken from the Mechilta. Now, Rashi adds, but despite the fact that these are the words of the Mechilta, Ve'ein mikra yoytze midei pshute. The verse, the words of the verse, the words of the scripture do not have to be misconstrued or disconstrued from their literal meaning. And therefore, in a literal way we could say, even though the emphasis was Hazeh seems definitive, so Rashi interpreted it as, yes, there was a sliver of moon, and God pointed at the sliver and says, that, what you see now, that's called the rebirth of the moon halachically. However, the Mikra, the scripture can be understood, HaChodesh Hazeh, this month, meaning which is month is that? Not Shvat. Which month? Nisan. Nisan. HaChodesh Nisan normally, and the month of Nisan he said, Zeh, this month that we're about to enter into, Yireish, it'll be the first l'seder minyan achadashim for the order of the months. Sheyehei iyar kari sheni, so that iyar will be called the second month. Sivan will be called shlishi, and so on and so forth. Now, of course, there's a famous question that we ask here. Like here, you talk about Nisan, the first month is Nisan, and we say iyar should be called the second month. And Sivan should be called the third month. Isn't it the other way around? Didn't we call these months Rishon, Sheni, and Shlishi for almost millennia, for over 1,000 years, before we came back from Golus Bavel using Akkadian names of the month? And here Rashi like inverts it. He says, so Nisan is going to be Rishon, and Iyar is going to be Sheni. It was Sheni long before it was Iyar. So there's a long and very beautiful Ramban about this. Ramban's commentary is that the reason we called it Rishon, Sheni, and Shlishi was always, as you went through the course of the year, to count back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to commemorate the miracle of the Exodus, the miracle of our national birth. It's Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. Shlishi of what? Shlishi of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Revi'i of what? Fourth month of going out of Mitzrayim. Always commemorating the miracle of our national birth, our coming in as a nation. And Ramban says that when we came back from Golos Bavel, that was an unprecedented thing historically. Many great nations, they rose, they filled the world with splendor, and they faded into the dustbin of history. Here we were exiled. and we were at the brink of extinction, and we were enslaved for genocide. And the fact that we came back to the land of Israel, and the fact that we're able to create this reflowering of our nation in our national homeland was such an extraordinary miracle that we call it Nisan Iyar Sivan to commemorate the miracle of what we call the second coming of the Jewish people. The Jewish people is coming back to the land of Israel. Such a miraculous event that, so initially we talked about the miracle of coming out of Mitzrayim, coming to Eretz Yisrael the first time, but subsequently we refer back to the miracle of having emerged from the cauldron of fire of Golos and having reconstituted ourselves as Hashem's special children. And Rashi says that it goes back to the word Hazeh, because this really bothers him. What's the Hazeh? He said, you should know Niskasha Meisha al Melad Halavana. Meisha Rabbeinu had a really hard time. He stumbled and it was difficult for him to get what exactly does Hashem want when he says, this is not something which be conveyed properly with words. There needs to be some kind of picture, some kind of image. What will be considered worthy of sanctifying the moon? What will it need to be? So Hashem showed him be'etzba, as if by finger. He said, look at the heavens. And he said, you see this? That's the new moon. That's what we're talking about. The Ketzed Hero, how did he show it to him? What's the issue? The issue here is that the prophecy had to be during the day. And Moshe Rabbeinu's Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctification of the new moon, also had to be during the day. Moon is visible at night. How'd this work? God only spoke to Moshe during the day. Shenemar vayhi bayoim diber Hashem. It was on the day, so it was only during daylight hours. Bayoim tzavayisay. The first verse is earlier. We read this earlier, the beginning of the book of Shmos. The second verse is from the beginning of the book of Leviticus, the Vayikra. Or here's a verse from Bamidbar. Min hayoim asher tziva Hashem vahala. From the day that Hashem commanded. So Rashi brought your proof from the books of Shmos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. Devarim is actually a recapitulation. So you can't bring a proof. God doesn't speak to Moshe in Sefer Devarim. But Eishas, Moshe is not there. But in the three books where God's commanding Moshe, each Sefer emphasizes Bayim. So it only makes sense to say God spoke to Moshe during the day. And as I mentioned, furthermore, Kiddush HaChodesh should have to be during the day. So Rashi says, Ela Samach L'Shkias HaChama Nemru Le'Parshazu. It was very close to the end of the day, just before the sun sets. And sometimes, right before the sun sets, you can actually see the moon in the sky. You can see a sliver of it. So Moshe saw a sliver before the sun set. Herahu imcha sheicha. As it was getting dark, as the sky was starting to darkle, that's when God showed him this sliver of the moon. Rambam actually believes that this was more of a prophecy. It was a prophetic vision, not an actual vision. This itself creates another problem, because how can you make Kiddush HaChodesh of a prophecy? Kiddush HaChodesh should have to be from an actual sighting. But this is a subject in and of itself. I wanted to conclude this morning's little class with an analysis, a little Rosh Chodesh special. So in the Birim book, on page Kuf Tzadik Aleph, the Rebbe here begins with the famous commentary of Rashi, the commentary that Rashi opens all of his commentary on the entire Torah, saying, L'helya tzorech l'haskel esatere ela ma'achedish zalachem. The whole Torah should have began at Exodus 12. That's the first mitzvah the Jewish people get. And the Rebbe says this, Hasiba lekach. So why indeed is it that the first mitzvah we got as a nation is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh? Why is this the mitzvah rishena shenetzavu b'Yisrael? And the Rebbe says that there are three reasons why this might be the first mitzvah God gave us. The first reason is the way the mitzvah was given. We know, as a rule, we believe that the Torah was given Torah shebichtav and Torah shebal peh, a written and an oral tradition. And the reality is that there are some verses that spell mitzvahs out clearly, but you still need the oral Torah to know the details. When it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, like the Ibn Ezra says, Ein b'teira chukei hashana mefurashim. Nowhere does the Torah give us the details of how you establish a calendar. Eich nachashev hachadashim. How we should count the months. V'chol eila ha-mitzvah. All of the details of this mitzvah, tzirichais le-kabbalah u-meseris. They all need to have the traditions that were passed down to Moses. And the Rebbe says, quoting the Ibn Ezra, this is the biggest proof that Moshe Rabbeinu relied entirely on the oral tradition. There is no difference in the two Torahs. From our ancestors, all of this comes as an oral tradition. And so, the Rebbe, quoting the Ibn Ezra, says, shows us that of all the mitzvah which emphasizes the concept of the oral Torah, perhaps more so than any other mitzvah, is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. And that's why that would be the first mitzvah, to demonstrate that you cannot have a Torah if you only have scripture. You need to have the oral traditions. And this is the mistake that some people make. They say, I don't believe in the rabbis, oral tradition. I stick with the scripture. It's a mistake people have been making since antiquity. This was what the Sadducees said, and the Bathusiites said. But this is, of course, all wrong. And that we see that because the first mitzvah we get is predicated almost entirely on the oral tradition and virtually nothing in the actual scripture. Number two, with this mitzvah we see koyach ha-Torah, the power of the Torah. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh shows us how Torah has mastery over the material, terrestrial, and physical reality. And for example, we believe that things like puberty have everything to do with the actual Hebrew birth date. But this is a biological thing. This has to do with the moon, the lunar pole. And yet, the Torah says, "Bashalosh shana v'yemechad," this halachas, a girl 3 years of age, 12 years of age, physical differences in the physical body has everything to do with the calendar. So we see from this that the Hebrew calendar, the mitzvahs of the Torah, has a force that necessarily is able to influence the physical, material realities to be. And that's a very, very important part of Torah. There's a koyach, there's a power in the mitzvahs of the Torah. Number three, the Rebbe calls it the tachlis ha-Torah. What is the ultimate mission and purpose of Torah? And that is to bring holiness into the world. And this ultimately is what Kiddush HaChodesh is all about. We take an ordinary day, and through the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, we turn it from an ordinary Monday into a Rosh Chodesh, a special day, a day of holiness. And whenever Rosh Chodesh is, in the end, determines when Yom Tov is. Be it Pesach, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, or even the rabbinic holidays of Chanukah and of Purim. So what we see here is three major thrusts in what mitzvahs are about, all included in this one mitzvah, which gives us an understanding and appreciation as to why Hashem chose this mitzvah to herald and open all of His instructions to us as a nation. Just to recap, number one, the way it was given, with an emphasis on the need for the oral tradition, for without the oral tradition, you have nothing. Number two, the power, the impact of the mitzvahs, how it changes the material world. And finally, the tachlis, the purpose, is sanctification. This mitzvah enables us to take mundane and ordinary chunks of time, segments of time, and elevate them, transform them, and hallow them. And so it is, mitzvahs were given to us as a vehicle through which we can hallow, elevate, and transform the world into Adira Le'ezbarech B'Tachtoinim. The rest, as they say, is commentary.